Going to jump right into it. So we have finished off last week with Parable of the Ten Virgins. And, I believe that was it. But tonight we're going to study the Parable of the Talents. And so it's quite a lengthy little bit of a study. Got a lot of information to cover inside of it, which is good. But as you know, we have always, it's so great to be able to do some of these studies and dive through this stuff with each and every one of you, apart from just doing it myself. Tonight we're going to study about the parable of the talents. Our reading comes from Matthew chapter 25, in verse 14 starting through verse 30. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and read that. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have that is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not straw. You ought therefore to have put my money with the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to him that has 10 talents. For everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we finish off with verse 30. Have a lot that's going into this parable. The Son of Man is going to judge all nations, that we know. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. Life eternal, and as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, whosoever you will do it. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 48 through 50, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister. You did it even to me. We understand that there's also everlasting darkness. And as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Taking these thoughts into consideration, we just want to jump into that parable. We think about, again, just the consistent thought of what a parable is. That, can you guys hear me okay back there? A parable with a story has 2 meanings. Again, we're always reminded of Luke 8 and 10, Matthew 13, 11 through 13, about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to us has been given to know, but to them it has not been given. Understanding those lessons, we've kind of traversed between these 2 thoughts of the kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of heaven will be. So we have a present tense kind of understanding of it and a future tense. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, again, where our scripture was just taken from, Coming back to chapter 24 and verse 3, we understand that that was still our audience, like we spoke about last week in 24 verse 3. It was a private conversation with the disciples. So now we break into our parable points. We have an initial calling. He gave them and distribution for his servants, the master. He gave them his goods, each to their own ability. Very important part. Master came back, called his servants again. Each man had to give an answer, whether good or bad. There was a judgment, and there was a reward or a punishment. We understand that the master was leaving for a time. He called his servants to him to give them the things which was his to give for them to do something with. He never stated what to do with the talents at all. But each person to what was given knew what they could do with it. But they also knew that the master had expected something on his return. So, as we think about the breakdown of the parables, and again, any comments, questions, please feel free to speak up. Sometimes I don't get to see everything in the room. So we have three separate events of talents given out. We have five talents, two talents, and one talent. Now, breaking down the parables like I have in times past, a talent considered in this parable was, again, something they were akin to knowing about, as Christ often made parables about things individuals could relate to. As so, we should, when sowing the word or helping individuals understand the word more deeply, to help them make applications to things that they could relate to as well. The application here that he was talking to his disciples was the master's money. The talent, in my studies, and some of you may have done your own studies on this too, it was interesting to understand what a talent was. To us in today's time was about back then was about 6,000 dinars. And forgive me if I'm mispronouncing these things. During the time that Christ walked the earth, one dinar was essentially a common pay for a day's labor. So we're trying to understand that the magnitude of these different talents, right? We understand five talents, we understand it's a money aspect. It could take, on average, to make a day's labor was, to make one talent was about 16 and a half years on average to make one talent. So we figure there's a total of eight talents here. Eight talents was equivalent to that of 131 and a half years to essentially make eight talents, or 48,000 dinars. Estimated that one talent by today's standard for us would be about $28,000. Eight talents essentially would be about $227,200. The point that I bring with that is the more that we understand the aspects of how he was trying to talk to them about it, the more we can understand about ourselves, it's those same kind of physical applications that we can understand. The master gave them part of his livelihood that he had worked to make with this. These talents were important to him, as was the servants that he entrusted it to. So we understand that the talents that was given, five was given to five, five given to one, two was given to one, and one was given to one. Now we have a breakdown of the servants. The servants have a duty to serve. They have a responsibility for growth. They had different abilities, great abilities, potentially small abilities. Each servant was an individual. When I looked at this, and we'll cover some scriptures here, a little bit about it. They each had a responsibility and duty to serve their master. They were responsible for the growth of their master's investment, producing a fruit back to it. They had an ability from great to small. One was given five, one was given two, one was given one. The master likely knew the servants and what their abilities were that could produce. This is why he gave one specific amount versus the others. But we think about the responsibility of the servants. And I think about the responsibilities that we have, responsibilities given to us in scriptures as examples. Turn with me to Colossians 3 in verse 23. Colossians 3 and 23. If we were given talents, or we were given something from our master, which we are that we know, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it with great degree, with intended purpose, with great magnitude, to ensure that you are doing what you should be doing for the Lord. And then I think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. When given talents, when a master gives the servant talents, we think about Christ giving us, or Christ giving the apostles, or Christ giving his disciples. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did be reconciled to God. And I like to read 21 as well. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're ambassadors for our master. We understand that in James chapter 2, in verse 17. Tells us exactly, even so faith, right, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Why are these important? Why is it important to understand that we are ambassadors for our master, that work is required, that we must do it with great degree, that we have intended purpose? The master, in this example, gave his servant something of his. He expected something in return. They knew what they needed to do. They were servants unto their master. They knew that they had something very specific that was given to them that was precious to their master as well. They knew that they shouldn't, or at least two of them did, that they shouldn't have any reason to not come back empty-handed for when the master did return. We understand, and in the parable as well, in Matthew 25, coming back to our parable. There was an expectation, although it may not have been said right there, that the master told his servants what to do with it, they knew. They knew that there was an expectation that the master would require something when he came back. They didn't know when, they didn't know what, but they knew it had to be something. At least two out of the three did. They knew that if this was the talent, in this instance it was money, they needed to grow their master's money. They knew that there was work that was going to be put into it. They did not want to return empty-handed. Growth of the master's investment. Now think about that, right? One of them brought back five more, one of them brought back two more, and then we understand the one that didn't bring back anything. And, you know, it's the parables, they all just, as you continue to study through them, and like we have here, they all tie into each other in one way, shape, form, or fashion. They all feed on each other. That's why Christ is the greatest teacher out of them all. But I think about, again, that barren fig tree parable is a great thought about being unfruitful for a master. If there's an expectation, there's something that's going to be expected of us. We don't want to be found unfruitful for the master. And I think about that barren fig tree parable. That one just really stuck with me a lot on that. But I think about understanding of what we need to do, work that's expected of us as the servants. I think of Psalms 111. Psalms 111 in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise forever. Understanding of what we need to do. Work that's expected of the servants. We understand that his praise will endure forever. That those that do his commandments. Now I think about, we must be complete. The expectation is to be complete. The one that had five, the one that had two, they were complete in every good work that they did. I think Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And you know, we can understand from the parable that was given to us, Matthew 25 here. I just think about that one statement there. The one that had the one talent, he made a very statement. I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow. But his master told him, he said, you knew that I reaped where I sowed not. You knew that I gathered where I did not straw. Work is required. Just because he may not exactly, which we know that's not true, he told us exactly what we need to do. We have a work that's required of us. Just like James 2:17. James 1:22 tells us what exactly? Right, coming back to that, James 1:22. Something that we quote so often a lot. We think about. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You think the one with the one talent was deceiving? He deceived himself. Work was required. And then I think about, I want to go back for a second.
Here's something I like about that too. They had no excuse. They knew him. Mm-hmm. They knew him. They watched him work. He entrusted them with the talents according to their abilities. They knew themselves. I'm not just to keep his money until he returns. He could have done that with the bank himself. Mm-hmm. It's given to me, and they knew that they were to do something. And out of fear, you know, when one bad servant hid his and did not use or utilize or put to work the talent that he was entrusted with. So, yeah, they had no excuse. They knew that they were to work, they were to produce. That's why he left it with them.
One, let fear cover more than the responsibility of the work that was required. Fear over reward. I mean, they used the, and that's another term too that we'll dive into. That we've seen so much, you wicked and slothful servant.
Yeah, he didn't step up.
Good point. So I think about, and just coming back, and we'll dive back into it because we're doing pretty good on time. But we understand there's talents, right? We understand there was something given. They were servants. They had a purpose. There was an expectation. It was required for growth that would require work. They understood that they were given a specific talent based upon something in the scripture here. They had an ability. Each one had their own ability. And we take that exactly from where the text is right here. Let me see here. Where was it? Verse 15, he gave one of the five talents to another two and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Each had an ability. Abilities were not the same. Who does that remind you of? And I'll tell you who I think it reminds me of. Let's see how many of you went to this part. For me, it was Exodus chapter 4. Turn with me there. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Man that we all know too well, Moses. Moses claimed that he did not have the talent to speak, an ability to speak. Instead of hiding his ability or talent, in, you know, play on words there, talent in the earth, he was able, and there was another word there I think is interesting, was required by God to still use it. According to God's will, Aaron spoke on his behalf. But let's see what the text says. Starting at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since you have spoken unto your servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now you go, therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to you instead of a mouth, and you shall be to him instead of a God. And I shall take thy rod in thy hand, wherewith you shall do signs. Moses claimed that he didn't have the ability. You know, we think about the one talent. He probably didn't think. He was afraid of the Lord. He was afraid of his master. Probably didn't think he could do anything with it, so he hid it and did nothing. I think about Ephesians chapter 4. Different abilities in the scriptures. Different opportunities to do something with what our master has given us. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, right? So think about that. Ephesians 4 and 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We understand that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 through 29. It's a very lengthy reading, but we all know it so well. And I just wanted to make a couple points on that. No sense, not for time's sake, to read all verses, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Right, again, one that we all know very common. Many members have their many abilities. Whereas the body is one and has many members. And all the members of that one body, being one, many, are one. So also is Christ. We understand those servants were of the Master. Those servants knew the Master. Mark, you made that point there. They knew the Master. The Master knew them. Many members, even in today, right? We think about applications for today. We have the church. Many members have their own abilities. Some might have more than others. Some might have one. But not to be found as unprofitable servant. Whether it's within the church or as you're out amongst the world, you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. There's going to be a reward for those that's according to labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. And neither is he that plants anything, neither that waters, but God that gives the increase. He that plants and he that waters are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We have some talents, essentially, again, money, but we're using the application that Christ is trying to understand about being profitable for the Master. When the Master shall return, and what not to be found as. The Master's call. Master called his servants back to him at this point. Expected to find from each. It's important to note that the Master knew what each man's ability was. He did not expect from one the same as he did five. But he did expect something rather than nothing. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we must all appear for the judgment seat. Romans 14 and verse 12. Romans 14 and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. They each understood their Lord to be a hard man. It wasn't just the one that had one talent. The five knew it. The two knew it. The first man, the second man, the third man. Right? They all knew that their Lord was to be a hard man, reaping where he did not sow. He even told us that. He said, you knew that. Sowing where he did not scatter. There were those that knowing this, knew that they should not be empty-handed when their master showed back up. However, again, the point, they did not know when the master was going to return just the same as we don't. 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 2 will come as a thief in the night. Matthew 24 in verse 36. I'm going to turn there because it's close back to our parable here. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of the day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then, of course, I got 25. There is a master's call coming back. And then there was a reward. His Lord said to him in verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Each person has to give an account. Just like we spoke about last week, we're responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for anyone else. We can't buy anybody else their way to heaven. We can't do anything for anybody else other than teach them the truth. Lead them to water. Help them to drink. Each person has to give an account for their own, just as the five did, just as the two did, just as the one did. Each person was rewarded. Those that did something with what they were given, did you notice what they said? They were given the same reward. That statement was said to both of the ones that actually did do something. Not a different statement, not a different reward. They're both given the same reward. Even though they had different abilities. Ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Each one knew that what they were to do. Paul knew. The one that did nothing with what he was given. That's the scary one. That's the one that we don't want to be found as. The master told him he should have at least done something with it. At least do something. Something was better than nothing. We sit idle on our hands. We're not profitable. There's going to be a reward for us, but not one that we want. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. How many times in the parables have we seen that so far? Quite a bit, almost every single one. We understand there's a reward for those that do good, a reward for those that do bad. And I think, again, continued application as we close up for the night. We have a responsibility. We have various abilities of our own. Judgment is going to be the same. There's going to be an answer required from us, each and every one of us. Judgment is the same for not willing to produce for our master as the judgment is the same for those that are willing. The difference is the reward versus the punishment. We have our responsibility. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Notice that word continue do, that's a continuous word. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until when? Until the end. And in verse 12, to finish, that you be not slothful, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Just as Moses was, is there some here that must pull our talent out of the dirt and do something with it and use it for God's will? We must be mindful of the work that we are doing with what we are given. We must ask ourselves, what is and where is our talent, right? Essentially, what is it that the Master has given to us? And what work are we doing or able to do with it for the Master's will for when he will return? The judgment, again, will be the same for those not willing to work when they have an ability to do so. And I think back again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many members, same body, different responsibilities, different abilities. We should be busy about doing our Heavenly Father's business. And to close off here, Luke chapter 2. I don't think there's anybody ringing the bell, by the way, but I think we're good on time. It's about 35 after, but this is our last point here. Luke chapter 2 in verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so as we should, right? Our Master gave us specific things to do for him. We don't want to be found empty-handed. We don't want to be found empty-handed when he comes back. So that closes us up for the parable of the talents. Just some thoughts, added options on it. And so next week, we will do two of those. The friend at midnight and the persistent widow. Is there any other closing thoughts or comments?
Yes, I just noticed, you know, that comment that he makes. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. We see Christ use that several times in his parables, driving home the fact that he doesn't expect anything out of us that we can't do. And if we refuse to use our talent, if we refuse to grow our talent, and we refuse to do that, he will give it to someone that will. He's not going to waste his efforts. It's a waste of time. Kind of puts it on us that we need to be growing our talents. We need to be making ourselves available. Because God will use somebody else if we waste, if we're lazy and slothful or afraid and let a lot of things get in the way.
Absolutely.
Other thing to think about is we all have the ability to do the best we can. I mean, there may be some things I don't do as well as you do, or vice versa. But that being said, every one of us can try as hard as we can try. That's what God expects from us, is that we do the very best that we can. And He knows what we can do. But that being said, I think a lot of it depends. What He looks at is our hearts and our effort. I mean, is the effort there or is it not there?
I think you brought up a very great word there too. One is try. If we just try too, right? We have to show an effort for that. Or if we don't, it's kind of pointless. Yeah. Very good thoughts. Any others? Thank you.